talking with my friend Jeff Walker. I've known Jeff for, it seems like, about 20,000 years. It's not actually, I guess, in internet time it's been that long, but we've, I guess, known only since maybe 2003 or 2004 or something like that.
Yep.
Jeff is the brains behind something that's been very successful in the information marketing community, which is something called a product launch. And a lot of you guys need to learn about this stuff. And so we've got Jeff here to talk about. Jeff, why don't you tell us a little about you and who you are and what you do?
Well, boy, it's been an amazing ride for me for the last 10 years. I started selling information online in 1996, primarily about the stock market. I sell to traders, day traders, and to investors, and really came at it from having a passion about the stock market and gradually realized I never sold a thing in my life before. Didn't really know. I had a business degree, but had no real knowledge of marketing.
Business degree from Wim,
Michigan State University.
Yeah, very good college. I went there as well.
Yep, and I had no selling experience, no real marketing experience, never even run a business. But it turned out, I had some decent content, and I was really good at selling online. I started way back selling information. It was late 96, early 97, and gradually started to figure a few things out about selling. I mean, back then, accepting credit cards securely was nearly rocket science. I totally bootstrapped everything. I built it out of my basement. Then I started to stumble onto something that, we now call the product launch. I call it product launch formula. Where I would release new products or we would re-release current products. And the results I started to get were breathtaking. I mean, typically, again, I run a small business. I've got essentially a couple people working for me, primarily work out of a home office. I started to see results where I would make, in a week, I would make the sales that I would typically make in a year. My first product launch was $1,400. That rocked my world. It seemed amazing. And then I did it a few more times, and I did one that was $28,000. And then I did another one that was, I did one that was $106,000. And that's pure profit because I built up a list, and the only expense I had was merchant fees. It was information product, digital delivery, no marketing costs. I sent a few emails. So I built up this formula for releasing products gradually. I think, boy, Adrian, we did meet. It was in 2003 when I first talked about this in public. And then I started taking on some clients. Started teaching it to some other people in the information marketing space. All of a sudden, back then it was 6 years and 7 days, seemed like a big deal. That's when I did that $106,000. And then it was $1 million in a day. And now it's $1 million in an hour. We're typically seeing, I should say typically, but we've seen multiple times. I did that just a few months ago when I released a product. $1 million in a day. I mean, sorry, $1 million in an hour. We did, in just over a day, we did almost $4 million, $3.73 million. Again, these are, they don't have to be information products. People have used this stuff with nearly any type of product or service you could mention, or you could imagine, nearly every type of niche or market you could imagine it's worked in. But, the great depth of experience that I have is in information marketing. And I know you have some people with huge, huge businesses on this list, so maybe $3.73 million in a day doesn't sound that impressive. But, we're talking about very small operations and nearly 100% profit.
No, it sounds minuscule and irrelevant, and so people be looking at this and saying this is a waste of time. It's not, because this is a very scalable concept, and it can be applied in a lot of other markets. The proof point is the way Apple brings out its products. I mean, they're using very similar sort of techniques. The way Microsoft launches things like the Xbox, it's the same stuff.
Yeah, well, Adrian, I don't know if you know this, but our listeners, readers, I do have a course that teaches this, and Apple is very aware of that, and they have hired someone that was like they hired someone to help with their launches that is very, very familiar with my work and has studied with me personally. So Apple's and obviously Apple knows what they're doing, but they're studying my stuff as well.
Yeah, and I've watched these. So it seems, why don't you talk about some of the list sizes that you're working with and sort of the results that you're seeing?
Well,
list size, how many people and...
Well, they have a list that it can be, often it's a hybrid. Like if I do a launch, I'm just doing what I'll call an internal launch, which is just a launch to my list, my house list. I will, if I'm doing it, I'm looking for a minimum of $50 in revenue per name, per email address on a list. And I achieved close to $150 in some launches. Now, this is with small lists. I mean, this is with $10,000.
$50 per name. This is not $50 per click, and it's not the price. This is $50 per name on the list.
Right. Right.
I mean, we have guys that are mailing to lists that are millions in size, and they're doing a dollar CPM across the entire list. You're talking about $50 in revenue per name.
Right.
I don't know what it is in CPM, but it's very high.
It's crazy high, but, caveat, I'm doing that with small lists of like 10,000, 50,000, 100,000. If I had a list of 50 million, I wouldn't expect to pull, $50 per on that. But I bet you we could take whatever their best promotion is and triple it. I mean, this stuff is sick how it works. It's just crazy. So, for that one that I did a few months ago, this $3.7 million. That one, we had a list of about 45,000, but that was an internal launch. That was a full-out external launch where we used our house list, but we also announced joint venture partners, and they were mailing. So it's that one is impossible to calculate exactly, you know, on a per name basis, because we all know how many partners are mailing. And the metrics get a little messy. But for the internal list, yeah, I'm looking for 50. Actually, if I'm under 50, I'd be pretty upset with myself. And, you know, 100 sort of that benchmark I'm looking to hit. And like I said, I've gotten near 150 sales per name.
And a typical list size is only a few hundred names in some cases, right? Up to a few thousand?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think, you know, I've done some launches with lists of 1,000 or 2,000, but typically my launches are doing, we're working with a list of anywhere from 10 to 100,000 to get those kind of metrics.
So, How does it work from start to finish? You know, let's see, you help me along. What happens?
Well, so the key thing is we're always looking to turn our marketing into an event, and we're always looking to create conversation with our market, with our prospect. So this is it's a sequence deal where it starts off with a very, you don't even want to say soft pitch, because in the very beginning, you're just letting your market know that something's coming. You sort of, and often I'll do this as the way I'll do this with a survey or with a question. I'll write to my audience and say, we've got this product, we're just about to release it. We just want to make sure we got everything covered. Could you just tell us what's the most important feature, what's the most important thing you want to know? And so we'll engage them in that way and start a conversation with either a survey or just a simple email asking for a response, because reality is, in direct mail, people have often, and I mean, this is pure direct marketing, so if we look back at direct mail, there's often been like a three-letter sequence. That's been taught for eons, where you send, a letter, and then whoever hasn't bought, you follow up with another letter, why haven't you bought, and another letter is frankly puzzled, they know she still haven't got taken advantage of that. Problem with ads, it costs money, there's no interaction, and it's slow. Now, if you put together a sequence that is email-driven, that's blog-driven, that's Twitter-driven, and you put together a sequence where the first piece you're asking for that feedback, and then now you open the conversation. So basically what you're trying to do is you're trying to get them excited, let them know something's coming without them going into the full-out when people hit a sales page, get into the sales process, their defensive mechanisms, their BS detector immediately goes on full-out red alert. The way we're doing it here is we're just gradually working them into the process by, starting with that survey and often coming back with some good content around your offer, educating them. And so what we're doing is we're gradually taking them into the sales process without turning on, all their defensive mechanisms. So, typically we'll come out, for a launch, we'll often be 3 or 4 weeks in advance. We'll do an initial either survey or just ask them for feedback onto a blog post where we're asking, what do you want? What are you looking for in this, whether it's information product, whether it's a service, or whether it's a hard good, it doesn't matter. We're looking for feedback, get that interaction going. Once they start giving you the feedback, then what they're doing is they'll give you questions. Those questions are really objections. And now your goal, your mission, is to answer those objections in the pre-launch process. And that's typically done by publishing some either special reports, some videos, some audios, a blog post, PDFs, whatever. Of course, the internet's a communication medium. So now what you're doing is you're giving them a special report to educate them. But you're more educating. It's not like you send them something that says, boy, this new car is going to be fantastic because it goes, this kind of engine, this kind of suspension or whatever. More, it's usually aspirational, and it speaks to, it speaks to the underlying want that you're looking to fulfill. So you're moving through this pre-launch process, and maybe if it's 3 weeks long, you start out with an initial survey, you come back with content a few days later, another week later you come back with more content, and that content, in addition to educating them and getting them excited and being aspirational, it's also answering whatever objections they've raised. And basically gradually walk through, and the whole idea is get them more and more excited and make them feel engaged in the conversation. Basically, what we're doing is taking advantage of, the three key elements here in using the internet is the speed of communication is obviously way faster than we've ever had with any other type of publishing media, and the cost of that communication is very, is negligible, and the interactive component, we'll send someone to a blog post where, it'll be part of this launch, and we might get hundreds of responses. And those are gold, because then you've started the conversation, other people get to see that conversation. And it feels like an event. It feels like something exciting. And so basically what we're doing is we're taking the sales process, and instead of dropping them into a sales letter or a sales process, and saying, go buy this stuff, what we're doing is we're taking them through a 3 or 4 week period where we're gradually doing a soft sell over time and getting them more and more excited about this. And then typically we walk down to launch day and we'll have some type of a special offer. So there might be special pricing, there might be special bonuses. There might be a limited quantity. Something to get them to act right on launch day. And of course, leading up to launch day, we've educated them on that special offer and why they need to act right away. And then it's simply, no matter hit and send them at launch day, and you know, the sales come pouring in. And then there's a whole follow-up process, you know, from that launch day. You know, and you can be doing a launch day as a day long or a week long or 2 weeks long or whatever, but what you end up is just this huge flow of sales coming in. And the beauty of it is the sales are great, but you build up great rapport. If you do this properly, you build up incredible rapport through the process. So you end up with extremely happy buyers, which means you end up selling to them again and again and again. And even the prospects that don't buy tend to be very, very enthusiastic and happy. And they're loving being part of this event that you put together.
Are they, though? I mean, I don't follow your market within internet marketing that closely anymore, but my understanding is that it's gotten so jam-packed full of launches now that people are tired of it. And I've even seen one guy, Armin Marin, that's putting out a product that's like $20 a month because he said there's just so many high-priced launches out there that don't deliver value.
Well, Armin's, you know, a very, very smart guy, and he knows, you know, that one of the best ways to sell is with a common enemy, and so you create a common enemy, and then you can sell away. But the reality is like any press, I mean, I've taught this now to thousands of people. And like anything, some people will do it really, really well, and some people will do it really poorly. What I'll tell you now, you know, the product now I am selling is about internet marketing. It's an internet marketing product, how to make money, more money in your business online. It's a very crowded market. And every single one of, you know, my competitors or my colleagues, the other people in the market, every single one of them own my product. And so they are all doing launches. And now this is what I'll tell you, Adrian, is the dollars this year are like, you know, a year ago, okay, well, let's take a few years. $1 million a day was unbelievable, okay?
I remember they done right that. I was done.
It was literally like a Roger Bannister running the 4-minute mile. No one thought it could be done. And so then a few months later, another person came back, and Frank Kern came back and did $1 million in a couple of days. And then with a couple of years, you're starting to see $1 million launches fairly regularly. So then last year, I helped out someone to launch. They were new to the market. They had no list. They had no real name recognition. We had 1.76 million. That shocked people that we were able to come to a market with people that were unknown and no list and do that kind of a launch.
And you know who that was?
That was Ryan Lee and Tim Kerber with the product teaching people how to create membership sites, called Membership Site Bootcamp.
Oh, really?
So it was a great product, great launch, 1.76 million. People were shocked by that. That was one of the biggest launches ever at that point. Well, fast forward, you know, another year, and we're in 2008, and now we had $3 million launches in January, February, March, April, and May. And so the launches have gotten bigger. Yeah, some people are grumbling about them, but I'll tell you, when I do a launch, my list still gets excited. I end up with an enthused list. Another thing, I mean, I don't want to get too into this internet marketing space because, you know, my key message to everyone is that this stuff works no matter what your market or niche, and really almost no matter what your product. But
maybe you can talk about the Neil Strauss launch.
Yeah, well, sure. Yeah, we can talk about that. Basically, Neil had a product, again, an information product, and I didn't personally work on this launch. You know, Frank earned it. I gave Frank a few ideas, but I wasn't personally involved in this one. But it was basically how to meet and, you know, meet women, pick up women type of deal. And
he's the author of the game,
yep.
Which has, you know, been on New York Times bestselling list for a long time.
Right, and so he put together a product that it was a bunch of videos, and they priced very high price point, and they had a nice scarcity element. They only had so many available, and I can't remember the exact. And I know they were at $1 million. I'm pretty sure it was within the first hour. It might have been within the first couple hours, and they completely sold out. Like, you know, they put a hard limit on the number of copies they would sell, which I think ended up being around $1.5 million. And it completely sold out within a few hours. So that was a product, you know, it wasn't about, you know, it was not about how to make money. It was anything to do with the make money component at all. It was just how to pick up women. And, you know, he used it to a T, walked right through the whole, you know, the whole product launch method, and it was just breathtakingly successful. And I've got people that if I just started telling you some of the weird little niches like that, you know, my clients have, you know, have had great success in, you know, Jen Gallagher, he bought a board game. He sold a board game about edible and medicinal plants and herbs. It was an educational board game. Another one, you know, carving wooden dolls, massage therapy, you know, business coaching in Poland. I mean, this stuff's been done all over the world. It's been done in Europe, in South America, in Asia, in the Middle East.
Business coaching in Poland. That was good.
Yeah. In fact, the woman that did that basically just took this is what's amazing. This stuff is so cookie cutter. You could just literally take it from market to market and drop it in various markets. And she took, in my course, I gave a sales letter I had used in my trading business where I had a product about day trading. And she took that sales letter and pretty much cut and pasted it and used it for business coaching. Obviously, she had to change the offer and she had to change the product. But the whole sales letter was essentially my stock trading sales letter. And it worked just great. Business coaching ball. No worries. So it's just worked in all kinds of markets, all kinds of niches, with services, with online services, offline services. And really, the reality is, the reason I think it works, you know, and I guess it doesn't, I mean, in some ways, maybe I don't know, but right now, everyone has got too much media coming at them. They've, you know, if we look at, I mean, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, we didn't have cell phones and email and instant messaging, text messaging, and 500 channels on TV and satellite radio and advertising on your airplane tray when you fold it down. I mean, a year and a half ago, we didn't have Twitter. You know, and so we've got so much more media coming at us, but our brains have not expanded their capacity to absorb all that. So there's this huge, incredible fog, you know, a marketing fog, and people are not reading your messages, they're not seeing your messages. You know, at the same time, I think people are fundamentally bored and disconnected. We're, you know, we don't, in my opinion, people don't spend much time interacting with other people. They don't spend much time building relationships with other people. They're sitting in front of their computer, you know, answering emails. They're sitting there, you know, with their BlackBerry to all hours of the night. So you have this combination of this fog, there's too much media coming at us, and at the same time, we're fundamentally bored and we're looking for a connection. So if you get to play on these launches, you end up cutting through the fog, and by creating a connection, by creating a relationship, you actually, Adrian, I know this is hard to believe, but you create a relationship, and you can do it with thousands of people. And you know, through this process, by collectively walking through a process that leads up to an event. It's sort of like, you know, Christmas. Or
Christmas is about their launch anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, in reality, and it's got all the elements. It's got the anticipation. It's got the hard deadlines. You know, it's got scarcity. It's got all kinds of stuff, and it's got this communal.
Exciting.
I'm sorry.
It's exciting.
Oh yeah, and it's got this communal feel where it's like the just going through something where you have a large group of people all going through something where they're going through the same thing at the same time just inherently creates excitement. I just did this mountain bike race. I think, you know, I live out in Colorado. I do all these crazy things, you know, mountain biking, whitewater rafting, skiing, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so I did a mountain bike race. It was great because I did it with my kids. And I got killed teenagers, and they're blazing fast on their bikes. So we did it as a team. But it's a 24 hours of Moab race. And basically, it's a relay race where you Moab, Utah, you're out in a desert, wild desert. The race starts at noon on Saturday and goes till noon on Sunday. The team that does the most laps wins. And so we had a 6% team, and you're riding off for 24 hours straight taking turns. But I'll tell you, as the countdown to the start of that race at noon on Saturday for like 2 or 3 hours, and you know, we're talking, we're out in the middle of nowhere in the desert, but there's 5,000 people there. There's like 1,000 racers and another 3 or 4,000 support people. So there's 1,000 people. And we're all going through the countdown to the start. And, you know, okay, now 60 minutes, make sure your team's registered, go pick up your baton, your timing card, and okay, we've got 30 minutes to go, and give the final instructions and get people lined up and get bikes ready. And the excitement in the air was just felt, you know, you could just feel it. I mean, it's just electric, just absolute electricity. And it's because we were all there doing something we're excited about, and we were all going through this countdown together. And then bingo, you know, the race starts, and there's all this. Then for the next 24 hours, everyone's going through the same type of thing. You know, all of a sudden, it's starting to get dark, it's starting to get cold, and the next morning, the sun's coming up, and then the countdown's at the end of the race. And the excitement was just amazing. So now I was just looking around as a marketer and saying, we've got 4,000 people living out in the camp out in the middle of the desert, and we're all going through the exact same, you know, steps. You know, and it's all preordained, and the level of excitement is insane. That's just, the launch works that way. Christmas works that way. Anything where you walk a group of people through something, it becomes ritualistic, and it just triggers something deeper. So it's just crazy.
Let me ask you, you said it'll work on any market. Something that I want to get to is doing some sort of fundraising and giving back through Media Innovators. Because we've obviously got a pretty influential community. If we put a little bit of effort into it, we could raise quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. How would a launch apply to my list, and how would we do that, given that everybody's easy. People right. Don't want to hear from me all the time. You know, guys could even get pissed off. How would you handle a situation like that?
Well, one of the keys that I'll do is if you have a list and you're going to go through a launch that's, say, a little, you know, the people on your list, I mean, this is an example, the people on your list did not sign up to be part of fundraising or charitable, you know, type of thing. So, it's tangentially related. So in that case, I would start a sub-list. I would create a second list. And you know, make people raise their hands and say they're interested in this thing, and then go join that list. I mean, that's just no brainer. And so that way you're not going to torque them off. And if they do get mad, they can unsub from that list. They're still on your main list. You know, for this thing, you know, it will absolutely work for nonprofits, and it has worked for nonprofits really well. I have to actually think a little bit about this because the launches I've seen with nonprofits is where a nonprofit, you know, the actual organization did the launch. Like they came out with some new fundraiser, they got people excited about it. You know, they put together an event around, you know, maybe a bonus and awards event or whatever, got people really excited and got them to show. That's worked well. Now,
everybody might just want deals without an exception, and it's starting to see the volume of deals and people paying a lot of attention now. And so we could buy it somehow, some sort of deal stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, what would have to happen to raise $1 million out of my list for some fundraising thing? Do you think that is even possible?
I don't know. Because I don't know, you know, your list, but, you know, I would think, you know, certainly there's always going to be, you know, the what's in it for them method. So if you can put together some type of deal where you put some, it's just, if you put together an attractive what's in it for them, then it's just a typical sales process. Just like anything else. So like if they get, you know, if they raise so much money or they donate so much money, they, you know, yeah, somehow they get a greater access to deal flow. or you get, you know, greater, they got a listing on your website, or you know, and then also, like, in that case, I try to bring competition into it. If you can get people competing with each other, then that can be really powerful. And I would think the people on your list, you know, primarily CEOs or people running companies, if there's ever been a competitive demographic, that's exactly it.
Yeah, if you get them engaged on something like that, they really fight it out.
Right, exactly.
And I could see that being something where people want to demonstrate that they are as successful as they say they are, and maybe this is a way to demonstrate it.
Totally. I mean, that's what we see with going flashing back to, like, the internet marketing space, or actually this has worked in several different spaces, but often you'll be going out and you'll be getting people to promote for you on a joint venture basis. So they're sending people into your launch and you're tracking a sale back to them, and if you make the sale, then they get paid. And so really, right now there's so many opportunities for people to promote various launches that it's become the real competition. I'll tell you what, Adrian, is selling. Once you get someone involved, you get them on your list, the selling is the easy part. It's just, this stuff is so powerful that it's just like clockwork. Selling is the easy part. The tough part is getting those partners to promote because they have so many different choices. And so the first thing you do is you put together a launch to get your partners excited. So the first launch is to your JV partners to get them excited and get them on board and get them to mail for you. And so this is sort of, you know, the advanced level stuff, the stuff behind the curtain that no one actually gets to see is the launch going on to your partners. And a key component to that is generally competition. And what I'll often do, and people, you know, my clients and friends, people, they will put together a joint venture contest. So the person who sells the most stuff gets this, you know, gets a big screen TV or gets, you know, tickets to the Super Bowl or whatever. And the reality is that most of the people that are promoting for you are just so successful already that, you know, getting a $2,000 TV just really isn't going to change their day one way or the other.
Right.
However, the standings for those joint venture contests will get published to all the other joint venture partners. And the competition is what really drives the contest. They don't care whether they get a Mac Pro or a big screen TV, but they sure as hell care about being number one in that contest because they have serious brag rights the next time they see each other at the conference.
So that really that drives it, does it?
Oh, yeah, it does. And I mean, then again, there's an art to it, you know. If you do it well, you will get people lathered up. I mean, you know, often there's a big element of giving each other a hard time. You know, a lot of these guys will know each other and they'll like to tease each other. And I mean, if you can put together entertaining emails that are teasing each other and maybe, you know, telling, you know, giving people silly nicknames or whatever, I mean, that kind of stuff actually works because it humanizes the entire process and it humanizes it and humorizes it, and it actually does work.
So, okay, you say it applies to any market and all this kind of stuff. Back against that, to my list as an example, my list size is minuscule, 600 people. Sublist idea makes a lot of sense, but if we did a sublist, then it might only be 30 or 40 people on it. And then, in that sort of scenario, and also mine is based around personal relationships that are quite strong. So I'm wondering whether, instead of even doing things like email, whether it might be best done by phone or things like that, how would a launch apply in that scenario?
Boy, that's a good question. I personally haven't done it where I've been calling people. I mean, you know, maybe on that joint venture part of it, you know, there'll be additional strategic calls to certain people. You know, I do know someone, one of my clients did this, did a launch, and he was selling real high-end CRM software. And so, you know, he's selling it to the Fortune 500. And I don't know, maybe you might know what CRM software goes for, but I think it was, you know, $100,000, $300,000 selling. It was pretty big sales. And so you might wonder, how does one do a launch for that? And really, what he did is he used all the principles, but he was using it just to get in the door. It wasn't like he was using the launch principles to make the sale. It was just to get in the door so he could make a presentation. So that was typically he did that with direct mail, you know, personalized direct mail. He's obviously not going after hundreds of clients, or maybe probably not even tens of clients at a time. And so he used direct mail to get in the door. He used it actually. I mean, I don't know exactly. I just know he told me what he did, not the exact sort of how he did it. But he was even using it to get by a gatekeeper and get those letters on the right desk and get them read, get the phones answered. So I can't, you know,
that was a successful launch, was it?
What's that?
That was a successful launch in
Fortune 500. Yeah, absolutely. But again, it was you know, selling onesies, twosies. It was selling, you know, it was going into, you know, wherever, GE or Cisco, and selling them, you know, this $200.
How would he be putting these kind of scarcity in that kind of environment?
I don't know how he did that. But, you know, you don't absolutely need scarcity. And so that's we haven't even talked about, you know, there's lots of mental triggers that are built into this. And really what this process is about, you know, in addition to that conversation and the sequencing, it's about using a lot of the standard influence triggers, the mental triggers that have worked and will continue to work. And, you know, scarcity is one of them. Social proof is another one of them. Commitment, consistency, community. There's probably about 10 of them that we hit. And you don't have to always hit all of them. You don't absolutely need scarcity.
You have a list that you run through and you make sure you hit as many as you can per launch, do you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, the big scarcity is a big one. Social proof goes hand in hand. And certainly social proof would work, you know, in a scenario, like where you're trying. I mean, often it'll be like, you know, we're getting ready to, you know, our team's ready to install one of these packages, and then, you know, we have an opening to help install one of these packages in the next 3 months. We'd love it to be you. But, you know, just, I have to let you know, just, you know, may help with your planning that we are talking to Cisco, and Cisco might take that slot 3 months out from now. I mean, you could do something like that. I mean, and at that, so that's sort of a combined social proof and scarcity. The social proof is we're talking to Cisco, and they're real interested. The scarcity is that, that slot for, you know, I don't know how it works. I have no idea how CRM software works. And, you know, so maybe that doesn't make sense. But it's, you can, on a very, very small scale, even if you're working with a, you know, very limited list, very limited clients, you can still use those triggers. And basically, the sequence is where you deploy those triggers.
What do you say people say to scam?
You mean people that, it's people that you're trying to sell to, or people that, that if I'm trying to convince people to do a launch, I think it's a scam. I mean, there, yeah, right. there's plenty of people that think, oh yeah, it's a bunch of charlatans, whatever. All I know is that, you know, my clients and students have done well over $100 million in launches in the last couple of years. It's worked for all kinds of things. It's not, I mean, it's basic human influence. Every one of us is trying to influence people as we go through the day. This is just a technique to really, to amplify the influence. Really what it is like, if you had to sell someone something, you know, if I said, you know, on pain of death, you have to go sell this person this product, Adrian, go, you have 24 hours to do it, you would probably drive over to their house and sit in front of them and try to make the sale that way. I mean, if you have to make a sale, generally the best way to do it is in a face-to-face environment, because then you can read all the cues coming off of someone. You can see if they're interested or if their eyes are rolling or whatever. You know, that it's more effective to sell face-to-face than, say, via a magazine advertisement or direct mail or telemarketing. So if that one-to-one sale is the most effective way, the only problem is it doesn't scale. You can't make tons and tons of sales sit in front of someone. What we've done with Product Launch Formula, the way we do it, is we've taken the best of both worlds. You get the scale you can get by publishing. But with the interaction that you build up through these, even if it's not one-on-one interaction, but it's the interaction with the entire market, you get a lot of the benefits that you would get from that face-to-face selling. Because now the market's just to guide you on what triggers you need to, you know, hit, what you need to say next, how they want to be sold, and so it's very, very effective. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, frankly, I don't. If people think it's a scam, you know, then I invite them to move along. I don't really care because I've got so many people that want to do this stuff and do realize just how effective it is. Yeah, I don't care.
Fair enough. What are some of the biggest launches that have happened in the internet marketing exercise
Well, I'll tell you, there's two answers to that one. CyberNet did a launch where they put about, I think it was about 1,500 or 1,600 people into a program that that cost $800 a month. So if you do the math on that, was it 1.2 million or something like that? I don't calculate it in front of me per month. And you know, I don't know if they ever released, you know, their stick rate, but they had a pretty good stick rate. And you know, so how do you, you know, how do you calculate what their launch did? I don't know, but they built a business that was doing over $1 million a month, and since then, the last couple of years, I think the business has done at least $30 million in sales. So I think that's probably the biggest launch. You know, it was the biggest launch in terms of sales that came in on launch day, but long term, you'd have to classify it as the biggest. After that was actually when I rolled out my Product Launch Formula course in late March of this year. Did $3.73 million in about 34 hours. And then after that, Frank Kearns, Mass Control, did about $3.5 million. Rich Sheffman had a launch at about $3.5 million.
Are those all? Is that all profit, or are those
they're
on Pakistan?
Yeah, typically, I can talk about my numbers because I know my numbers. And so what I did was my launch was driven by. In fact, going to the math, interesting to people. Right off the top, my launch was to make the math easy. Instead of 3.7, let's just say 4 million. It was driven by joint venture partners. I paid 50% commissions. So most of my sales, I'd say about 90% of my sales were driven by joint venture partners. So and so I paid 50%. I did pull a calculator here. That means we're running up to a $4 million launch, and if 90% of that came from partners, that was $3.6 million came from partners. So I paid out $1.8 million in affiliate commissions. Okay. So so that was my biggest expense. After that, I have I had a little bit of labor because at this point, you know, running that kind of a launch, we had to bring in some more, you know, a little bit more muscle, a little more customer service. So spent $100,000 in labor. And then, of course, you have merchant fees, which is about, they call it 2.5% right off the top. And those right there, let me think, that's your primary expenses right there. I mean, I had a digitally delivered product, so I had, you know, just, you know, $1,000 in bandwidth fees. It's hosted on a single dedicated machine at Rackspace, so the server costs were $5,000, negligible. I had the affiliate contest, so I probably spent $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 on affiliate prizes. But, you know, so the bottom line is you come out of that with a significant chunk. The primary expense in a joint venture launch is what you're paying out to your joint venture partners. But, again, it's based on performance. You're not spending a fortune on advertising up front. You know, I'm paying that out, you know, 45 days after the launch to my partners.
So, those are, you were left with what, $1 million and one and a half?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, $1.5 million or so, between one and a half and two.
And so that was something that you did, how many years ago did you do that?
That was actually earlier this year.
That was this year. And obviously, can you do another launch this year for your same stuff? Or, will you not work the rest of the year, or what do you do?
No, absolutely. You know, typically, I mean, what I did in this case was I taught an online class that took place for 5 weeks after the launch. And it's been off the market since we did it as an online class. I'm going to be releasing it in about another week or so. And, you know, I'm sure I'll sell more than $1 million worth of stuff again. So you can do multiple launches. You can, you know, in the past when I released a product, I've just left it on market and you continue to make sales. And then if you put together a special offer, a special bonus package, a special pricing, special financing, and you can come back and do a relaunch based on that. So this is, you know, this case, it was on the market for 3-4 hours. I pulled off the market because I was leading people through a class, an online class. And so I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to continue to sell it, but now I'll reopen it. I'll probably open it a couple times a year. But, you know, other type of products, you can, one of the great things this does is it gives you instant momentum. It gives you instant recognition. It gives you instant market share. It gives you instant status. And it makes you, also, it gives you instant, scares off potential competition. So if you come in the market and you make this huge splash, you know, often it will scare imitators away, and you know, it's a way to capture a market. It doesn't work every time, but
one of the things you also, I heard you say, Evans and Ant, you talked about that, cleaned out all the search engine rankings as well.
I mean, that will work if you didn't train venture partners. If you're doing an internal launch, it won't always work, but, you know, yeah, if you went and did a search on my name or my product, you know, most of the top results are going to be blog posts that my partners put together. Like, people were so hungry to promote for me. If you say no, they knew the launch was going to work because I'm really good at this stuff. And so they heard rumors that I was going to start, that I was going to release this product, and they started blogging about it, even just based on the rumors. And so, I mean, we got, you know, I don't know, there's probably a couple hundred blog posts about me and my product. They're all, you know, no duplicate content. They're all individual posts written by individual people. They're not like the greatest, most influential blogs out there, but they're still pulling rankings, and they're all very favorable mentions of these people trying to sell my product. So, the long-term potential is, you know, I've generated hundreds of links into my site. I end up with a real nice ranking. And you have great visibility. You have, you know, sort of instant guru status is what we talk about.
Yeah, because, I mean, there are companies that have issues with that, and so that's sort of a solid couple of problems in one go.
Yep.
What else should we talk about around launches? Anything else you'd like to tell us?
Well, you know, I think one of the things, you sort of touch on it a little bit, you know, when people look at this stuff and they think it's, I mean, a lot of times people hear these numbers and they just go into disbelief because, again, you know, for a lot of the people, you know, that are listening, you know, their numbers are huge, but we're talking about, you know, increased same product margins being put together by small businesses, you know, with, you know, they're just doing huge sales. And so they hear about this and they think, you know, it's all hype, you know, as you mentioned, or it's, you're putting out a bunch of hype and you're just, you know, you're sort of, you're bankrupting your future. You know, you're hyping this stuff. Your product launch is a bunch of hype, and you're going to report off your market, your niche, your list, your competitors, your partners. The reality is that the internet is a fantastic communication medium, and all you're doing is you're using that communication medium to communicate, to create that relationship, and to form a hopefully even a community, but definitely a relationship. And it's just, you don't end up torquing people off. You end up with a really powerful business, a really powerful list, and really happy customers. I guess I've already mentioned it, but it bears repeating. This isn't just a matter of sending a bunch of email. It's a matter of, you know, being interactive and walking people through this process and getting them excited.
And as you say, so, I mean, yeah, you say the numbers are big, big relative in a marketing market. But, so what I want to ask, let's say, how would you help Zappos to launch?
I'm sorry? Oh, Zappos? Yeah. Well, it's sort of funny because, I never really focused on e-commerce too much, but then there's a lot of interest, so I sit down and I'm not, you know, I don't, one thing I try not to do is teach stuff I don't know, but, you know, I did my best to come up with some plans for e-commerce, and I actually just did a case study with someone his company was selling, marching band accessories, and he put together a launch selling these marching, you know, gloves and uniforms and whatever, you know, pads for holding tubas and stuff like that, and he did it at like the worst. It's a very seasonal market. And I don't know what the season is, but I guess, you know, right before the beginning of the school year is when people probably, you know, band directors buy stuff for their band. And so it's probably like spring's the worst time in the world because, you know, they're done for the year. And so he put together a product launch for this worst time. ever, and just crushed it. I mean, and again, in terms of hit, you know, it was more like a $10,000 or $20,000 lunch for a business that, you know, didn't expect to make more than a few hundred dollars in sales that month or something like that. But, and so what he did was, and I guess what, for example, is what I would be looking to do, would be to bring in, to me, be more about engaging people and getting them more excited about coming back to your site. And so if you did a weekly or a biweekly or a monthly launch around the product, and, you know, it could be a pair of shoes that are about to come out and they're really excited about it, you know, it really is something innovative. And so then, you know, you probably put something on your website about this thing's coming. You probably send out a single email to your list about this thing's coming. You're really excited. You're probably only going to get a limited number of pairs in initially because, you know, it's going to be brand new. So, you know, if people want to know about, you know, if they want to be notified, you know, you're expecting it to come in, you know, whatever, December 7th, but if you want to be notified exactly about any shipping changes, about when it's going to hit, if you want to know more about this product, go join this list. So I'd probably create a sub-list around each one and then walk through the process, you know, educating them about the shoe. And I'd probably make it scarcity-based because, you know, if they had, you know, 5,000 people to send on the site, I'll buy a shoe in a single day for a new product. I mean, I don't know what kind of numbers they do, actually. I know they're huge, but at some level, I'm sure they would have some scarcity when the product first released. And then I would do something like that either weekly or every 2 weeks or every month. And with the idea being that maybe it's not, you know, drive some sales, but what it really does is starts to engage people in conversation and starts to bring them back to the site. I think, you know, the e-commerce launches I've seen, they have worked well, have generally been like that. They've either been a product bait or on a new product or a new offer, or they could combine. They, you know, you could combine several products into a package. If you have a base around that, or base around, like, holidays, birthdays, you know, the founder's birthday, something like that, you know, holidays, you know, some type of event, calendar-based event.
It makes perfect sense. I mean, perhaps that's something that a company like that is good to, or bad by all these others.
Totally.
I guess that maybe Best Buy does do this stuff when they have a new product coming out, don't they?
They announce it for Best Buy, because certainly there's a scarcity. I mean, you know, again, I have no idea on shoes and how these, you know.
Well, the cool work with shoes, because you could have a special set of designer shoes. You know, you might be a buyer that's already bought, you know, a bunch of Nike shoes, so Nike might be coming out with a high-end, exclusive, limited edition of shoes, which I think they do, and so you could just do launch around those.
Right, and another thing, you know, I love information marketing. I mean, I love selling information because the margins are so insane and it's so easy to create a product. But you can do what the guy with the band accessories did. We talked about this. Actually, we planned for the next one. I said in the case study, if you add an information product component, like examples, say Nike was coming out with something and it was a new shoe that Tiger Woods endorsed. If part of the launch was there's going to be a 60-minute dollar seminar with Tiger Woods if you bought it in the first day, or they got like some, you know, they got a photo of Tiger Woods or something along that lines. Then all of a sudden, with almost no additional cost, you've created this package. And then, you know, then you've got your scarcity and you've turned it into an event. You know, I mean, it's not every day you get on the phone with Tiger Woods. Or, and obviously that'd be a home run to be able to put together something like that. But at a lower level, you could certainly put together a special report on, you know, Tiger Woods putting secrets and why, you know, of course, hide the shoes, but buy the shoes in the first week and, you know, get this special, you know, report to get Tiger's spotting skills or whatever. Very easy to add an information component into an e-commerce type of sale.
Okay. Anything we haven't talked about that we should?
Well, you know, I'm sure I'm going to forget. I remember like four different things as soon as I got the phone, but not that I can think of. I just encourage people. It's amazing how creative people have been over since I started teaching this stuff. And what we're talking about are mental triggers that work, and they're going to continue to work, you know, until basic human psyche changes. And so, you know, I actually have come across. You know, I mean, if you're typically like, you know. If you're an ambulance chaser, like you're a lawyer and you're dealing with people that you're a client or people that just got an accident, probably not Charlie's gonna work for them because the timing component is in place. But outside of something like that, putting together one of these launches, the number one thing I guess is you're gonna be shocked at what it does for your business beyond just the initial sales. The interaction, the community, the getting people involved, getting people excited, the positioning, the market share you can grab from one of these often will go way beyond the dollar sales. So, you know, I encourage anyone to just think about this, you know, some of the stuff we talked about and think about how you can bring it into your business. And you don't have to do the full-out product launch the way I do them because if you often, you know, if you only add in 10 or 20 or 30% of these components in your business, the results could be shocking.
Cool. All right, Jeff. Well, thanks very much for doing the interview.
Oh, you're welcome.